Welcome into a game week episode of the Bengals Beat Podcast. Me and Jason Williams are in studio today. We are ready to every week break down the Bengals' upcoming opponent, and we're super excited to be here and doing this together this season. And it was a Wednesday in the Bengals' world today, and it really did feel like a game week. We heard from Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor. The locker room was open. There was a ton going on, but Jason and I are going to spend today really talking about our predictions for the season. And the reason we're going to talk about that is because he and I both had to write about our predictions, and all of that will be in the season preview section for the Inquirer on Sunday, so be sure to check it out then. But Jason, I'm excited to talk about predictions because I can't wait to in 6 months go back and have a podcast with you and say we were either really on point or we were really far off.
How did it go last year when you went back to those?
I don't know how I did last year. I
want
to say
it. You want to forget it, don't you?
Yeah. I don't know off the top of my head, but okay. I'm excited. I feel like I have, because last year I was making these predictions, you know, not really knowing a lot about the Bengals. But now, 1 year on the beat, I'm ready for my predictions. So before, I guess, let's talk about predictions. Just give me your opening thoughts on what you think the Bengals will do this weekend against Pittsburgh, first week of the season. Paycor Stadium's probably going to be rocking. What do you think about this week?
It's a little weird. I mean, the first time in the history of these franchises that they've opened the season. And you think Bengals, Steelers, and certainly the rivalry is a bigger deal in Cincinnati, I think. But it's a big deal to Pittsburgh. It just, and I write this in my column coming out tomorrow on Cincinnati.com. Like, it just feels a little weird. It feels a little weird for you. You want these guys to play a few games first, get the juices flowing, see what each team's strength is. Maybe they come in 2-3-0 each, and then. Because it doesn't feel like there's Bengals-Steelers hype this week around town. Certainly, people are excited about the season opener, but it doesn't feel like I feel like we're missing that. It sounds weird to say we're just no Ben and
yeah.
But ultimately, what do I think? Well, certainly the biggest test is like how's this new rebuild offensive line going to hold up? I think. You know, this is a good thing for the Bengals is that right out of the gate, they're going to face one of the best defensive lines in the NFL and Watt and Hayward. And they're going to find out quickly if this thing's better or not. I think they'll try to exploit the left side of that line. And I think Burrow's, he's going to scramble some. But at the end of the day, he knows how to handle the pressure. The Bengals are just absolutely better across the board. And, I think the Bengals win fairly easily. I'm picking them 31-20.
So I have a couple follow-ups to that. One, we can literally do a whole podcast on it another time, not today. But as a newcomer to Cincinnati, and I get the rivalry was made not of the teams now, but more so the history of the Bengals versus the Steelers. I think the Bengals' biggest AFC North rival is the Baltimore Ravens. And I think it's a new era because who knows what's going on in Pittsburgh. I don't think things look good there at all. I don't think Kenny Pickett's going to be on the level of Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. And I think you kind of saw the way things changed last year when the Bengals finally beat the Ravens on their own home turf, and then they swept them, and then the defensive coordinators talking smack about Joe Burrow, and, you know, it just seems like that matchup is going to end up being, like, the AFC North rivalry to me for, like, the next decade, and I understand the Bengals-Steelers was, like, a big deal in the past, but I also grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, and make no mistake, the Ravens' biggest rival is the Steelers. The Steelers' biggest rival is the Ravens. So I don't really think this whole, like, Steelers, it's Steelers week. Like, I just think it's tired. I think the Bengals know they're going to face a really good team. And just one point on this specific matchup before we start talking about the whole season. I just finished writing the story. It'll be up on Cincinnati.com. But we got to talk to Joe Burrow today, and he brought up a really good point. Someone was asking, you know, do you just about throwing all over the place, the time where he threw for over 500 yards, etc. And he said that every game requires a different Joe, meaning he doesn't really care if he airs it out and has 300, 400, 500 passing yards. If that game requires him to be pinpoint accurate, 20 of 23 and mix in, they ride mix in and they win the game. And when he said that, I thought that that was so interesting because, A, that shows the maturation process of him in that sometimes you think like a young quarterback would be all about like doing it his way, the stats, all those things. Like he does not care if the game plan is because of how good the Steelers defensive line is. We're not going to be able to drop back and empty every time. He gets it. And so when I went back into the numbers of the Bengals' last matchup against the Steelers, when they swept them last year, Burrow threw for less than 200 yards in each matchup. He was very accurate. He was like 20 of 24 one game, I think like 14 of 19 in the other one. But
he did what he had to do.
He did what he had to do, and they rode Mixon. So when you're talking about the Steelers' defensive line, we all know how good they are. When you look at the numbers, they finished number one in the NFL in sacks last year. 55. 22 and a half of them came from one player in TJ Watt. Like, this defense, it can't even be, like, explained on this podcast how good that defensive front is. And when you talk about the offensive line being the biggest question mark, like, even though this game doesn't have the sizzle, I can't wait for this game because all offseason, you and I have talked about, yep, what's this offensive line going to look like? What a better test than to stick this new remade offensive line. All we've heard is Elsie doesn't need to practice. Everybody's going to be fine. Well, we'll see, because we'll see if they can block TJ Watt and Cam Hayward.
And I think from that standpoint, it's good, mm-hmm, that right out of the gate, the Bengals are going to find that out.
Yeah.
And you're not going to wait. You're not going to play a few weak defensive lines in the first 2-3 weeks. And then you get, you know, a big game middle of the season, or, you know, 3-4 games in. And then it's like, oh, crap. Mm-hmm. You're going to find out right away. Right.
Yeah. And you and I, even though coaches will say you don't really find out what your team's identity is until later on the season, you and I will be able to look at each other in the press box when the clock hits zero and say, okay, this line's legit, or yikes, might be a long season. And not to say everything's going to be perfect. I'm not trying to say like the offensive line has to be perfect. But if Joe Burrow is getting hammered and, you know, it's more than a 3-sack performance, you and I are going to be saying, uh-oh.
Yeah.
So that's – I didn't really know Burrow's numbers, and I thought they were very telling for how I think this matchup is going to go this year, because Pittsburgh's defense almost the exact same as last year.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a heavy dose of Mixon and perhaps maybe one or two major explosive plays that they catch Pittsburgh sleeping on. And I do think the Bengals are going to win, but I think it's going to be a tough, gritty performance. Like, I think Mike Tomlin's going to have them ready to go and remember we got swept by these guys last year.
Good point.
All right, so now that we kind of got into this upcoming matchup, let's talk about the season. So I will let you go first. If you want to just tell us your overall record, and then you and I can go through each game, but give us what you're thinking right now.
Well, I haven't written my predictions like for column or my prediction for our column that we're all putting together for mm-hmm. Sunday. And as I sit here today, I guess maybe I'll just think out loud with you and all of our audience.
So the podcast is for.
I'm really torn between 10-7 and 9-8. And there's two games that really have me just in knots right now. Can I tell you those?
Hit me.
At New Orleans.
That's the one I have. I have them losing.
You have them. Okay. I have them right now I have a W written down, but I also feel like toss up.
We can debate that one. Yeah. But what's the other one?
And the other one is because that's – well, let's talk about the New Orleans game real quick because that comes the week after primetime at Baltimore on the Sunday night. The New Orleans game is a Sunday afternoon, October 16th.
Yes.
On the road. You know, four of the first six on the road as well. That is the final road game of that stretch. And then the other one is at New England on
Christmas Eve.
Similar situation, not a rivalry game the week before, but Tom Brady, a good Tampa Bay team, or what we think is going to be a good Tampa Bay team, the previous week, and then they go on a little bit of a short week, one day shorter. That's a Saturday, Christmas Eve at New England. I have that down as a W right now, but that was another one that's got me tied in knots.
So the reason I picked, we'll stay on these two games. The reason I picked them to lose against the Saints is because the Saints defense is incredible. They have, and I think it's because Jameis Winston's their quarterback and Sean Payton's not there. New Orleans is not being talked about at the level that they should.
That's right.
And if you do talk to the people that really know football, they will tell you the Saints defense is absolutely loaded. And when I tell you there's no harder place to play than the New Orleans Superdome, I think it's like the Caesar Superdome now, whatever. I had to cover a game in New Orleans every year at my prior job. It is the hardest place to play, like deafening loud. And I just see it like kind of similar to what you're saying. They're coming off of a really emotional game in Baltimore, a late night, Sunday night game. Like, I think the Saints defense is going to just wreck the Bengals offense. And I have them losing that game. I do have the Bengals winning that Christmas Eve game. But I did write when I wrote my little synopsis on why I picked that. I did write that I think that it'll be a closer game because potential weather, you have to think Boston in December, like, will there be snow? Will they have to kind of play a different style of game that they want? And you know, Bill Belichick is defensive minded head coach, like he'll have some plans for Burrow. But I have them winning that game because I just think, and I literally said, like, who is going to be calling plays for the Patriots by then? Is it going to be Joe Judge? Is it going to be Matt Patricia? Who knows? But I don't really have high expectations for New England's offense. So I have them winning that one.
I honestly can't argue with you because I had W's written down in my original run through for both those games. But those were my two games that were the hardest two to pick for me.
All right. So, but you have to make a pick. What is your overall record prediction for the Cincinnati Bengals?
It is, with the New Orleans being a win, I have them at 10-7.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have them at 11-6. And I did not see myself, like, when I went into this, I was like, I'm going to either give them 9 or 10 wins. But when I went through the schedule, I have them beating Pittsburgh in week one. I have them losing to the Cowboys in week two. I think Dallas's defense is going to throw some wrinkles at Burrow that he hasn't seen yet because they don't really go up against the Cowboys.
And I'm losing that game, too.
And I think, as we saw last year, it's going to take the Bengals offense a little bit to kind of find their identity. So have them losing that game. Then, my gosh, if they lose to the New York Jets, this is literally what I said. Simply put, the Bengals won't lose to the Jets 2 years in a row at MetLife Stadium. Yeah, and if they do, they have a problem. And especially with today's news, Zach Wilson's not going to be available. So if they can't beat a backup Joe Flacco in New Jersey, they do not deserve to go to the playoffs. Then I have them losing that. I have them winning against the Dolphins. Miami, I think people are really hyping the Dolphins, and I just don't see it. Yeah, I don't think Bengals Tua has it. Bengals win. I have them losing to the Ravens on Sunday Night Football, 24-21. Close game, though. And then I have them losing to the Saints. So they go on a little two-game road skid there. Then week seven, I have them easily beating the Falcons, which I think by then, Jason, Desmond Ridder is going to be starting for the Falcons at quarterback.
Really?
Yeah.
That'll be a great story.
And then I have them beating the Browns on Halloween. Happy Halloween to the Bengals fans. Then they come home and they take on the Panthers. I have them winning that game. Yep. But for whatever reason, I would not be surprised if they have a clunker of a game in that game against the Panthers, because Baker Mayfield has played well against the Bengals in years past. Then the bye. Then we go back to Pittsburgh. I have the Bengals losing to Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh on Sunday Night Football. I just think they're not going to sweep the Steelers. And then I have them beating the Titans on Thanksgiving weekend. Kansas City at Bengals. I have the Bengals losing.
I have them on a three-game skid here. Them losing at Pittsburgh. I have them losing at Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
And then losing to Kansas City.
Why do you think they'll lose at Tennessee?
I just think, you know, coming off of last year, there's just I don't know. It's a gut feeling that after going down there last year and winning, that there'll be a motivational factor for Tennessee. Huh. And Tennessee's going to win.
Yeah. I'm just not a believer in Ryan Tannehill at quarterback. And I think that, like, they lost their best pass rusher, Harold Landry, for the season. So I just have them winning that game. But then I do have them losing to the Chiefs, which we both have. I mean, Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are too good to lose to the Bengals three times in a row. They lost to the Bengals at home during the regular season last year. Then Joe Burrow beat them again on their home turf in the AFC Championship. Like, I just don't foresee Mahomes letting that.
Yeah, Tennessee was my other, the third toughest one to pick.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
And it's interesting. Like, I had no qualms with the Kansas City game. Like, I'm like, just because exactly what you said, I'm like, I just can't see Patrick Mahomes losing to this team three times in a row.
Yeah, I agree.
Just can't see it.
And then we move to Cleveland at the Bengals. I think the Bengals will roll. I have them winning 41-17 in that game. I just think the Browns, it's messy up there. And I know Watson will be back by then, but I still think, like, outside of Amari Cooper, like, they don't have enough offensive weapons that really scare me. So then I go to Tampa. And what did you have there? Did you have them winning or losing against the
Bucs? I
have
a loss now. How about you?
Me too.
Yeah. Why?
I just think, like, the Bucs have a better roster. The Bengals are a really good roster, but the Bucs are loaded on offense. Plus, it's Tom Brady in December. He knows when to turn it on.
Yep.
I just don't think that the Bengals defensively are going to have the horses to defend Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, Julio Jones, Russell Gage. Like, the Bucs loaded their roster up. They went all in thinking this is probably going to be Brady's last year. I don't think there's any chance that they beat the Bucs there. And from what I would have known covering a lot of games where my former employee played the Bucs, like, their defensive front is freaky good, and I think that's still going to be an issue for the Bengals. Then we go to New England. You and I both have wins, but we're both kind of like, be surprised if it goes the other way. Is
tough
that fair to say?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not New England of old, but
yeah,
it's still
okay. So I'm
late
not
in the
looking,
season and Bill Belichick.
I will preface this by saying I am not, like, I can't see Jason's sheet when I ask him this.
Well, so hang on now. How many losses do we have you at so far? We have you at five, right?
Yeah.
So we have you at
six. Six is my last loss.
Right, right. Yeah. So far through, you've gone through five losses.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here, I can't see your sheet, but I wanted to ask you what you think about this game. Do you have the Bengals beating the Buffalo Bills on Monday Night Football?
I do not.
Wow.
How about you?
I do.
You do?
Yes. And I think it's going to be Joe Burrow's best game of the season.
This means you think Baltimore is going to win that season finale.
Yes. Huh. Yes.
So I flipped mine.
Yeah.
But they're both going to be just intense games.
Like, I said I think this will be Joe Burrow's best game of the season. Don't let him fool you. He's heard all the hype. I mean, has there been a team more hyped Josh up Allen, than the Buffalo Bills, like, heading into this season?
Has there been a more team that's been more hyped last few seasons even?
Exactly. So, I don't know. For whatever reason, I just think, like, Burrow's going to thrive in that prime time. Oh, yeah, you think everybody wants to talk about Josh Allen? You forget about me? So, I have them winning against the Bills on Monday Night Football, which I think is just going to be the best atmosphere for a Bengals fan. And then week 18, I have them losing to the Ravens. Because I think that game is going to be like a play-in game for – I think it's going to be a really important game for both teams. And for whatever reason, I just think like Baltimore will bring it.
I have it flipped around. Mm-hmm. But I have flipped around those last two games. But my reasoning for them winning is the same reason. Yeah, I feel the same way about the game as you do.
Yeah.
In terms of what it means and what it's going to mean. And
yeah.
I feel like I picked that because it is Joe Burrow and it's Joe Burrow in the season finale and what's on the line. And it's so funny how we've viewed those two things. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I got my eye. I think the Bengals-Ravens game is going to be fascinating this year. But before we, kind of wrap up our thoughts, we are going to bring in Charlie Goldsmith, and he's going to talk a little bit about what he is expecting from an X's and O's standpoint in this week's game against the Steelers.
All right, it's X's and O's time. With Charlie Goldsmith. Charlie, how we doing, son?
Doing well. How about you?
Good. What's going to be the key to this game on Sunday, Bengals-Steelers?
Well, the most exciting part of the season to me, and it'll start week one, is how teams go about trying to stop the receiving threats that the Bengals have in Chase, Higgins, and Boyd. What I think so interesting about the Steelers is you saw the evolution of the Bengals offense last season through the evolution of how the Steelers tried to guard them. They started out trying to stop Boyd and trying to blitz Burrow. By the end, they were all out on stopping Ja'Marr Chase. And my big question is, and something I've thought a lot about, is the next step sticking with that approach of trying to stop Chase? Or is there a new evolution? Is there a new wrinkle they want to see with a full offseason to prepare and a new thing up their belt to try to stop the Bengals receivers?
Yeah, I'm so fascinated to see. And I think if there's any person who's going to demonstrate a new wrinkle, it's going to be Mike Tomlin. So it'll be fascinating to see what type of game plan they come up with.
Kels thinks that we talked earlier about that she thinks Joe Mixon's going to have a big day Sunday. And that kind of speaks to what you're saying here. Is it because of what the Steelers did last year against the Bengals and Burrow? You know, he wasn't spectacular, but he was serviceable in those two games. Is this sort of angle toward, a big day for Mixon?
I think so. By the time the Bengals played the Steelers after the bye last year, you knew a couple things for certain about Burrow. You knew that he was shredding blitzes, and you knew that Ja'Marr Chase was the number one receiver in the Bengals offense. Once teams identified those as true facts about the Bengals offense, they played a lot more two safeties. They left a lot of more open space in the box. What you saw against the Steelers last year was the Bengals respond to that by playing backup tight end Drew Sample more snaps than they did in any other game last season, more two tight end sets than they used at any point last season, and they said, let's run the ball up the middle with Mixon, and I think he averaged 5.9 yards per carry because the Steelers were almost daring the Bengals to run the ball, and I think that the Bengals are expecting a similar approach, being dared to run the ball. Generally, I think that's how they're expecting teams to guard them. And we know Pittsburgh, that's a way they're willing to guard the Bengals as well.
Yeah, I think Mixon is going to be – they're going to ride him again. And I don't know. I think it's going to be a little bit before we see what the Bengals offensive line is really made of. And, I mean, it's hard to – go against Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and think they're not going to give you a fit all day. So I think as the game goes on, the Bengals are going to make some adjustments and they're going to lean more on Mixon.
Let's flip over to the defensive side of the ball for the Bengals. And what's the key there?
Yeah, Pittsburgh is a team that, similar to Cincinnati, values the wide receiver position. And their whole thing is they have three big guys and they want to get a mismatch, one of their big guys against one of your small guys. And something you saw Pittsburgh try last season that they didn't have a quarterback with the arm strength to do was use their receivers over the middle when they get pinned up against a safety or against Mike Hilton. I'm very interested to see. It sounds like Chase Claypool is going to be playing a ton more in the slot for Pittsburgh next season. How do the Bengals have to help Mike Hilton in that matchup? And then where's Jesse Bates at as that help defender? He was great in the playoffs because he dominated the middle of the field. Pittsburgh's going to attack the middle of the field with their size and their strength over the middle. And what's the overall answer for the Bengals and how ready are the safeties for that challenge?
You bring up a great point, and I'll ask both of you this, is that Jesse Bates missed training camp and shows up 2 weeks ago. And is he – do you expect him to be at top form when the game kicks off Sunday?
Well, I guess that's the $13.9 million question.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. I spoke to Bates the other day about what, he wants to prove who he is as a safety. And I said, what are the skills? On paper, what is it? And he said he wasn't concerned at all about his pass coverage last season. It was his pre-snap recognition, the way he attacks run fits, the way he tackles over the middle of the field, and the ability he has to both blitz and disguise blitzes and make plays in that way over the middle of the field. I thought that was a really good sign overall for the Bengals because obviously his most important traits are his ball skills, his range, and his ability to take away the back half. So the characteristics and the traits that he's not concerned about are the ones he's going to need. And I thought that was the really good sign.
Charlie, as you watched, you've been studying these two teams, you've watched the film. Any other thought on the scouting report?
Well, it's two of the best kickers in football. So that's the beauty of the AFC North this year. Every good kicker every week.
Every good kicker every
Kickers,
week.
Dot, dot, dot.
We got offense and defense. I thought I'd throw in a special teams in there.
What are you at @CharlieG_ on Twitter?
It's actually two underscores.
Sorry.
The Charlie G underscore was taken.
@CharlieG2_ on Twitter. We'll be following your stuff as you cover the game on Sunday. Thanks, Charlie.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks. All right. Well, now we talked about our season predictions. Jason and I both could either look really smart.
I'm changing.
Or look really dumb at the end of the year. But the beauty in all of this is it's just really fun for the both of us.
Totally.
But before we head out, we do have some more predictions that we're going to do. And we thought it would be interesting. And again, he and I both don't know what each other is going to say. We're going to talk about our offensive and defensive MVP selections that we think for the Bengals this year. So I will kick it off with the offense, and I think the offensive MVP will be, drumroll please. I think the offensive MVP is going to be Ja'Marr Chase. And I know you're going to be like, come on, Kelsey, could you pick someone like, I mean,
I mean, you could pick Joe Burrow. Yeah, right?
Did you really have to did you really have to go far for that one? No, the reason I say it is because I think after watching every training camp practice, talking to coaches, Ja'Marr Chase looks even better than he did at the end of last season. I think he might have dropped maybe one or two passes. He looked faster. He was getting, it looked like he was just so far more comfortable in terms of the Bengals were moving him all over the field. So he wasn't just stuck playing on the outside. They're getting him in the slot. They're handing the ball off to him. Like, they are going to use him in ways that is going to make him so good in this Bengals offense. And regression is often like, sometimes it just happens. And I was worried about how he was going to be, but after every single practice, 30 minutes after practice, Ja'Marr Chase still on the drugs machine. I think he's just going to continue to just absolutely dominate. And when I asked Mike Hilton, I said, how are you guys planning for teams to take away Ja'Marr? Like, the blueprint's going to be take away Ja'Marr Chase, let Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins prove that they can carry this passing offense. Mm-hmm. He said and this is coming from a player who is in game plan meetings when the Bengals defense is game planning against their opponent's offense, and it all starts with who do we need to take away. He said, you can't take Jamar away. They're going to find him ways to find the ball. Like, he's too dynamic. He's too big. He's too fast. So I'm going to go with Jamar Chase. What say you?
I'm going to catch you a little off here on this, and I got something a little different. Mm-hmm. I'm going to couch this by saying I understand he would never win this because he doesn't
play his
he doesn't score touchdowns and gain yards. Ooh. But I think when you just – and maybe there's a different title for him than MVP, mm-hmm. but he's certainly maybe most critical player, mm-hmm. maybe. I'm going with Ted Karras, the new center.
The new center, captain.
The new captain.
Yeah.
He gets voted right out of the gate as a new player on this team, mm-hmm. a captain. Speaks so much to his leadership ability, mm-hmm. what he brings to this team. That was a position last year, the quarterback of the offense, or the offensive line. Sorry, the quarter, whatever, the center of attention.
Ted Karras lining up under center.
Right, the quarterback of the offensive line. And when you factor in all the issues they had last year and the need for the chemistry and the continuity and for this unit to take that next step and be so much better, and this guy's voted a captain, and what the things that Burrow has said about him and how much Burrow trusts him, I just think he's going to be incredibly critical. He's never going to win a trophy. He's never going to win an MVP, team MVP, a trophy. But
that's a really good and interesting and insightful pick that you made, because centers don't get talked about it, but let's just say if there's a bad center, centers to me are like kickers. Like, you don't spend high draft picks on them. Well, centers sometimes you do, but more often it's tackles and guards before centers. They are so important. I covered a team 5 years ago where the center was absolutely atrocious, and like watching the quarterback just not be so uncertain of what's happening in front of him. And the reason Ted Karras is so important is Burrow is how this team goes. When Burrow is calm, cool, and collected, these guys feel like they can go up against anyone. Can you imagine if, and Trey Hopkins was okay last year, but, a bad center and a bad rapport with the center and the quarterback, it can't even be stated how important that center position. And by
the
way,
my analogy there, like the quarterback of the offensive line, was not like more like the point guard of the offensive line, the guy that gets everybody together, mm-hmm. and makes sure everyone stays, that kind of thing.
And
so
if you think about it in the lens, and I know since you'll be covering the team closer, you'll get to know DJ Reader more, but like him as the nose tackle for the Bengals defense on the other side, the anchor of the defensive line, like DJ Reader has been one of the most important players this team has acquired in years. And mm-hmm. he doesn't always get the attention that like Trey Hendrickson and Sam does, because he doesn't get as many sacks. But if you ask any player or coach in that locker room, DJ is the reason they're all on the same page, that they play with like a tough grittiness, like we're not going to let you run all over us type attitude. Mm-hmm. He and Ted Karras have such similar personalities and such good, like similar resumes, where like they're just known for just bringing their lunch pail to work every day and just going hard. That is a great pick about Ted Karras, and I totally see where you're coming from with that. So let's finish this up and talk about defense. Since I went skill position wise, this might throw some people for a loop. I think that the Bengals' defensive MVP this year is going to be Logan Wilson. Because Logan Wilson last year had his best season of his career, and he is so important to the defense in terms of wearing the green dot, getting everybody lined up in the right direction. But what we saw from Logan is his interceptions last year. He tied the NFL's top player, and Darius Leonard, in in interceptions. He was number one, tied for number one in interceptions last year. And when you have a linebacker who's not only awesome at doing his job, and which is getting everybody organized and being like that leader that gets the calls in from Lou Anarumo and gets everybody lined up, when he can take his game to the next level of actually creating those game-changing turnovers, that's when you know you're an elite player. And I actually did a feature on him, and I talked to his linebackers coach, James Betcher, who is new to the Bengals, and he's coached Fred Warner, a bunch of like all pro linebackers. And he said Logan Wilson has all of the instincts to be a really good player. So I think Logan Wilson, I think he might have like five or six interceptions this year.
I love your pick of Logan Wilson, Kels. I'm gonna bump up in front of Logan and go with the defensive lineman, Trey Hendrickson. Just an absolute fantastic training camp. I mean, every time you looked up, he was in the backfield in practices. And you think back to last season and when they signed him and brought him in. This was a team in 2020 that was dead last in the NFL in sacks. He comes in last year, is a top five, finishes fifth in sacks in the NFL or overall NFL? Yeah, 14 sacks. The Bengals had 42 overall. Just a tough blue collar worker, made it to the Pro Bowl last year, his first Pro Bowl of his career. And everything, you know, knowing that he just had the best year of his career last year, totally transformed this defense and what he did in fall practice. Yes, I know it's practice, but there's nothing that tells me he's going to take a step back, but only take a step forward. And, you know, having that top five pass rusher is so critical. And I mean, it's amazing to think, like, you know, he had more sacks than Aaron Donald last year, and everybody talks so much about Aaron Donald. Yeah. So Trey Hendrickson he's my defensive MVP.
It's a great pick. I went back and forth with him. I've said it multiple times. There was not Joe Burrow, most important player on this team. Trey Hendrickson for me was number two in terms of if someone said, Kelsey, what was behind the turnaround between the Bengals last year? Because as you mentioned, they were last in sacks. Like, you cannot win in the NFL without edge presence. Yep. Look at the Steelers. Like, they have been garbage on offense the last 2 years. And the reason they've been able to make the playoffs is because
of defensive line.
Defensive line, Cam Hayward and TJ Watt. Yep. And so I think that the Bengals, it cannot, you know, really be explained just how important Trey Hendrickson is. But this is a production-based league, and Trey Hendrickson produces week in and week out. So I think that's a great pick by you.
Thank you.
So we need like some sort of jingle for us to like, you know, exit out of the podcast every
thunderstruck
week. Yeah, I don't know. Well,
the people ready for the
game? If you guys listen and you want to throw out some song suggestions, we're open. But I'm going to put you on the spot right now to end this podcast. What is your like go-to press box snack? Like, what are you going to be munching on next to me in the press box on Sunday at 1 p.m. that, like, you can't do a game without?
Peanut M&Ms.
Ooh. What, the peanut butter ones?
No, just the regular.
Or just the yellow package. Yep. Peanut M&Ms.
That is my go-to, I guess, guilty pleasure snack.
So you'll be stopping at the local UDF before you make your way down to Paycor Stadium
yes.
on Sunday.
Okay. Yes. I also like the little Cliff. Well, I can only get one. So, and certainly when you're out covering an event, I don't try to be healthy. I just try to be like comfortable.
Sunday is cheat day. Duh. That's how I put it in my head.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh. My like favorite thing.
What is yours?
Well, I'm a big Cheez-Its girl.
Okay.
Like, I could munch on a whole Jesus. Box of Cheez-Its during the game. But my thing is I like to treat myself to pizza on my way home. The work, we get down to the stadium so early. We eat our lunch there, and we don't really get dinner. So I usually just treat myself to a different pizza, and I come home, pour a glass of wine, and watch Sunday Night Football with my pizza.
Do you make it home or do you pick it up?
No, I don't make it at home. I did my full days of work. I'm not coming home and making an air fryer pizza or however people are making pizza these days.
One of those what is it, Jack's or Tony's, one of those really cheap frozen pizzas.
Oh, gosh. DiGiorno. DiGiorno.
DiGiorno.
Yes.
What's your, no, so what's your favorite place to get the pizza?
So this is, well, this is good because listeners, I need your help. Send me all your favorite pizza recs in Cincinnati. I love trying new places, but I mean, I think Dewey's is incredible.
I was going to say, that's my recommendation.
But I mean, I'm not even like bougie with pizza. Like, I like Marco's, you know, like, it's so
Jets.
I am. Jets is so good, but there's not one near my place. So anyways, but anyways, that was super fun. Jason, we will be back on Monday. Every week you can count on me and Jason on Mondays and Wednesdays. We will be recapping the Bengals game on Sunday on Monday. And then breaking Wednesdays will be the day that we get you ready for the upcoming matchup. But really looking forward to doing this podcast twice a week with you.
Yeah. And also real quick before we go, just let us know on Twitter too, like what your thoughts are. What would you like for us to talk about? Like, what are your questions, comments? Kelsey's the expert. She's the beat writer on the team. You're at Kelsey L. Conway. Kelsey at Kelsey L. Conway. I'm at J. Williams Cincy with a Y, because that's the only way to spell Cincy is with a Y, not an I.
Retweet.
Retweet. Anyway.
Anyways, all right. That's it for Jason. I will talk to you guys next week.